What is going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 45 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Brother, we're back. It's been a bit.
We are back, and it has been a bit. I just want to say I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm sorry to all our fans, subscribers, and listeners. I've been having a lot of dental work done the last month or so. I've been having a lot of problems that kind of surfaced a little bit before last fight, but
yeah,
you know, fortunately enough, quelled down during the fight, and then after the fight, it's just something I can't avoid anymore, you know. And that's why we're kind of dropping the episode later in the week as well. Johnny, I was messaging Johnny, telling him, mate, I can't do it. My face is twice the size it used to be. It has nothing to do with the donuts I've been eating.
Yeah. But like to Rob's credit as well, I also moved, and that's why I was out for a couple of weeks. You can kind of see my new setup right now,
yeah, which is kind of cool. Backdrop now.
Well, dude, you made fun of me for my previous one. I had to step my game up. So
around. I will say, so a couple changes for me. Okay, first one is finally got the new PC set up.
Hell yeah,
state of the art rig. Big thank you to Aftershock. Designed it through them. They helped put it together. They brought it to me. You'll see on my socials a lot of things I'm going to be putting out, just highlighting how cool it is.
Nice.
And I'm sure I'll tell you how cool Max Graphics games are in the games portion of the episode. But yeah, huge shout out to Aftershock for making that work. No longer is the camera freezing on us. No longer is it kind of getting janky, having to unplug USBs, plug in USBs, pull out the controller. Everything's working the way it should be.
Dude. Okay.
And second part, my man, finally got that Starlink as well.
Oh, legit. You finally
got it. I did.
No more bad internet.
Mate, I should have done it years ago. So good, man. And it's so easy to set up. Literally, it arrived in the mail. I plugged it in, had it sit on my front lawn, and I was gold. Like, dude, out of the gate. And then I had a Sparky put it up on the roof on the weekend. And, mate, I'm with the rest of you guys now. Like, you know, I'm like with the rest of civilization on the web. So I'm very happy with that, man.
Dude, that's all. I remember when I came to do your setup with the camera and everything. I was like, you should check out Starlink, man. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well,
you
know,
it's the same reason why I don't use Amazon very much, is because I'm very impatient. Like, the idea, it's like delivery day, 2 weeks, I'm like, stuff it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll make do. And I'm very much like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, even if it's kind of janky.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, look, better PC, better internet. The boys are back. If you are new, please subscribe, like if you enjoy the video. But today, big episode to return to, Rob. We've got our predictions for UFC 304 and our breakdown in Manchester, that card, at a ridiculous time for you UK fans. It starts at like, what, 11 p.m.? It's kind of crazy. By the time the main event will come on, it's probably going to be like 4 or 5 in the morning their time. So kudos to them for showing up to that. So UFC 304 predictions. We've also got some rule changes in the UFC that we're going to get Rob's opinions on, plus game news and everything. So if you enjoy this video, again, like. But let's get into these UFC 304 predictions. Starting let's in reverse it. Order with the main event, Leon Edwards against Bilal Muhammad for the welterweight title. Finally, Bilal is getting his opportunity. Leon coming in with 22 wins, 3 losses, of course. He had the 2 wins against Usman. He had the 1 win against Colby Covington. Bilal Muhammad, 23 wins, 3 losses, very similar record. And he's been on a tear, recent wins against Gilbert Burns, Sean Brady, Vicente Luque, Stephen Thompson, and a bunch of others. I think he's on a 9-fight win streak or something like that from memory. Rob, what are your thoughts on this, and who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, so I guess, like, finally we're getting that Bilal Muhammad title fight, okay? Like,
it was almost long time coming.
It was a meme for a long time. But how do I approach, you know, the predictions to this fight? So I can see like two possibilities. First one, Leon Edwards just being too good.
Yeah.
I think the caliber of fights Leon Edwards has had are different to Bilal Muhammad's. I think fighting that Usman twice is huge, especially when he fought him the first time. Like, that was good Usman.
Yeah.
Right? Fighting Colby. like Colby is a nightmare for everyone, and he was just able to shut him down so well with spectacular spacing and just really, I'm not going to call it stock standard, but traditional classy striking.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to find a hole, especially, you know, if we compare it to when he fought Nate Diaz, right? And we saw that hole get exposed in the later round or fights before that. I feel like he's tightened up to a whole degree further than he was then. And especially in that last fight, I was so super impressed of just how, you know, clean he was. There wasn't really anything to pick apart. There wasn't any holes or glaring weaknesses or points of to exploit for Colby. And I find that sort of fight going to be hard for Bilal Muhammad, who like, whilst he's not spectacular at any one field, you know, he's just really high level at all of them.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, okay, people are going to smash me in the comments saying he's amazing. No, he's amazing at everything, but I feel like that's his greatest strength is that he's kind of
– he's all-rounded.
Well-rounded.
Yeah.
You know, very, very well-rounded. He can take the fight any direction to get the win. I find he's going to have – I think he's going to have trouble trying to push that sort of game plan on Leon Edwards because I feel like Leon Edwards, especially in the last few showings, has shown that he is – like very well-rounded and utilizes the strength of his striking to capitalize everywhere else.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And look, we technically do have a fight of theirs that we can try and compare. This is not the first time that they've fought. This is technically a rematch. It ended in the fashion that it did with an eye poke, unfortunately, in the second round. But when they first fought in that first round, there's no denying it that Bilal was losing. Bilal was absolutely losing. Leon Edwards won that first round quite convincingly, wobbled him with the high kick as well. So I know it's only one round, and look what happened with Edwards and Usman, right? He won in the last round and he became the champ. So anything can happen, especially in a five-rounder. But going off what we can, Edwards was winning that. From my opinion, Edwards is just a better striker. He's a sniper. He's long. He has good range. He's more technical. He obviously lower output and lower pressure than Bilal, but when he hits, he makes it count. I think this is probably going to go to decision. I just don't see either guy getting knocked out, but I just think that Leon Edwards is the better striker. You made a good point, Bilal. He's good at everything, but I just don't think he's as good at striking at Leon. And I don't know if Bilal's going to try and wrestle. He's been training with Khabib. But Leon Edwards, look what he did against Usman. He did pretty well with his takedown defense. So it's a tough one, man. It's a really tough one to call.
You know, and I'll on a point you just mentioned of Edwards not having a great amount of pressure.
Yeah.
I think it's opposite.
Okay. All right.
Because it's hard to understand from an outside perspective, but controlling the spacing that the way Edwards does is so instrumental in creating not only in creating pressure, but like an anxiety driven thought process of like the stresses that he can hit me, that he's kind of there the whole time.
Right.
And that's one of the things I really really appreciate when Leon Edwards fights is that his spacing, mate, like it's sensational. He's always in range. He's always in threat range.
Yeah.
And imagine being in threat range for 25 minutes. Like the dude can hit you at all times. You have to be on at all times. Not to mention when he does land shots, it hurts, right? I feel like that sort of pressure creates mistakes. And we saw that in their first pairing. And I don't know. I'm not ruling Muhammad out. Okay, I think he's a sensational fighter.
Yeah.
But I just think that comparatively in their showings, like up until this point, we're going to have to see Bilal Muhammad bring something to the table we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I agree
with that. To beat Leon Edwards. And that might be a determination and grit that pulls through Leon Edwards striking and kind of takes him into deep waters, kind of like what Dricus did against Strickland. Or we're going to have to see like a level of wrestling that Edwards hasn't prepared for even against Usman or Colby. You know what I mean? Like we're going to have to see something to to change the dynamic, because from what I can tell from their pairings, like, it, you know, I'd have to lean towards Edwards.
No, I agree. I'm definitely leaning towards Edwards. I just think he's better on his feet. He's better with his hands. Bilal can try and utilize the ground game, can try and take him down, but Edwards is just so much better in his takedown defense. He's so much better in his wrestling, going toe-to-toe with Usman for two fights, you know, however many rounds it was. I don't see Bilal doing anything better or more than what Usman tried to do against Leon Edwards. And don't get me wrong, Usman took down Leon Edwards, but he still had a pretty good showing, especially in that second fight. The way I see Bilal winning is just keep going forward, more volume, more pressure, and winning it on the scorecards. That is the path that I see Bilal can take to victory. But ultimately, I think Leon Edwards is also going to get it done, probably by decision. I don't see anybody getting knocked down in this fight.
I don't think Muhammad has that game. I don't think he has the game that can just absorb shots and push through enough.
Fair.
To do that to Leon Edwards. I think Edwards is like snipes just too well. I think his spacing's too good. Mm. I think he mixes his hands and feet up like really well. Like, I get how tough you are. You can't take head kicks, teep kicks, calf kicks the entire fight. Like,
yeah. But to Bilal's credit, I know people don't like the guy. I know like he has a bit of a boring fight style. I mean,
I like him.
Look, people were saying similar things as Leon before Leon knocked out Usman, and that completely changed his career, right? You know, Leon had a lot of fights that went to decision, similar with Bilal. But you saw what Bilal could do when it comes to his hands against Sean Brady. I mean, it wasn't Sean Brady. He was undefeated at that stage. No one thought that he could win by a TKO or KO, but he did. There is every chance that Bilal could close the distance, getting close, but I'm with you. I just don't see it happening. I think Edwards is too much of a sniper and he's going to get it done over the five rounds.
Yep, I agree.
So that is our prediction. Leon Edwards to beat Bilal Muhammad. And then that just opens up the welterweight division. Ian Machado, Gary, Shavkat Rakhmonov, you know, JDM is in there as well. Let's see what happens. But next up, dude, every time Aspinall fights, I don't know what it is, I get this level of excitement, this anxiety. Do you remember how we felt with Aspinall versus Pavlovich? I was on edge that entire fight, and we're going to feel this bloody way when Aspinall versus Curtis Blaydes, strangely for the heavyweight interim title. But Tom Aspinall, 14 wins, 3 losses. Of course, he beat Pavlovich, KO in the first round. He beat Ty Bora, TKO in the first round. And before that, had his loss to Blaydes with the knee injury. But then he submitted Volkov before that, TKO'd Spivak. Curtis Blaydes, 18 wins, 3 losses, had a very impressive win against Jailton Almeida with those hammer fists. Previously, he did lose to Pavlovich, and then he had that Aspinall win. I keep using the air quotes. He beat Chris Dacau, I think you pronounce it, and obviously Rosenstruck as well. So, Rob, very exciting fight. I'm so pumped for this one. Probably the fight that I'm looking most to forward to in this card. But what do you think about Tom Aspinall against Curtis Blaydes?
Oh, mate, I'm a big fan of Curtis Blaydes, big fan of his fight style. And he's one of those, he's the type of fighter that I, when I pair him against other heavyweights, I don't know how he loses.
You've said that before. Yeah.
I don't know how he's ever the underdog or isn't the favorite. Like, to be such a big guy, big, strong guy, and to have that level of wrestling and cardio and output.
Yeah.
I find it, like, he gets caught. That's the only way he loses. He gets caught by these big dudes, but more often than not, like, and I don't know if it's his fight style that's led to like a level of predictability, and you can see those bigger guys capitalizing on that. But I think he's going to have trouble this fight.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a big fan of how Tom Aspinall moves. Mm-hmm. I think the fact he's so light but can hit so hard in such a generally slow division is going to give Curtis Blaydes a lot of trouble, okay? It is so hard to take someone down when they're light on their feet.
Yeah.
It is so hard to take someone down when they move away quick, when they're peppering you, when you know they can knock you out, when it's going to be a nightmare of a fight for Curtis Blaydes to try and close that gap. And I just don't see Curtis beating Tom in a stand-up fight.
No. I looked up the stats. So all but one of Tom's UFC fights have ended in the first round. And the one that didn't ended in the second round. He is, like, someone's getting knocked out in this fight. He, and in my opinion, I agree, he's probably the one that's going to be knocking out Curtis Blaydes. It was probably going to happen in the first, probably going to happen in the second. He's just scary fast and powerful for a guy that size. Like, Tom, he made Pavlovich look small, and he was so bloody quick on his feet. The way that he got those shots in, the way that he knocked out Pavlovich, who, let's remember, I know Pavlovich has lost again since then, but he was the boogeyman of that division. Nobody wanted to touch Pavlovich with a 10-foot pole. He was knocking everybody out left, right, and center. I think I said that I expected Pavlovich to win that fight, but Tom Aspinall blew me away with how quick he was. I just can't see... If Curtis can maybe survive the first round, maybe... And then utilize his wrestling game, because we know he has a phenomenal wrestling background. Maybe that can be his path to victory. But Tom can turn it on him there too. It can submit people too. How often do we see that as a heavyweight? He's just so good, bro. He's so
Tom's
bloody
good. Tom's got jiu-jitsu, man.
Yeah, he trained jiu-jitsu as a kid. I watched the UFC, is it the Embedded or whatever it is? And his dad was teaching him jiu-jitsu ever since he was a kid. He's not just a big heavyweight that can throw. So I think Curtis Blaydes has got trouble this fight.
Yeah, so do I. Like I said, it's so hard to take someone down that moves as quick and as nimbly as Tom does, especially with the output and the striking accuracy that he does. And if he can't close, I don't see him beating Tom in a stand-up fight in the open. So,
yeah,
I'm going to have to back Tom here. And, again, it is a little funny with the interim title, but it's better than nothing, right?
I just don't get it. I just don't get it anymore.
Don't think about it too much.
I don't know, man. But I'm going to be very excited for this fight. I think I'll be sitting on edge. I might have a similar feeling to how I felt when Aspinall versus Pavlovich, when they put their hands on each other's shoulder. That was just so intense, man. Cannot wait for this bloody fight. But next up, we have, it's not Bobby Green anymore, Rob. It's King Green. King Green against Paddy Pimblett. Lightweight fight. I keep saying Bobby Green. King Green is 32 wins, 15 losses. Recently, of course, he had that dominant victory against Jim Miller at UFC 300. He was knocked out against Jalen Turner before that. Paddy Pimblett, 21 wins, 3 losses. On paper, he's on a bit of a streak, right? He had a win against Tony Ferguson. He had a very controversial win against Jared Gordon. Jordan Leavitt as well with a rear naked choke. What do you think about this fight, Rob?
Was it King Green now?
He literally legally changed his name. He's now King Green.
His first name is now King.
King. Yeah, fuck. He's a Tekken character, man.
I don't hate the name King as like a nickname or you know, alias or something like that. But
it's King Green now. Does he keep his nickname or is it just King Green?
Dude.
Is he King Bobby Green now? Who the hell knows?
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I'm not going to get into it. He can do what he wants.
Yeah.
Mate, I'll say, so Paddy in his last fight, I thought first round, that first round of his against Tony Ferguson was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I thought that his fall from grace was the best thing to ever happen to him because he came back with like a vengeance, you know, to prove something. And, mate, I don't know. Like, I think it's I don't see that version of Paddy losing to King Green. Okay, I think King Green is very dangerous. He's obviously got a good skill set, and he's been in the game for such a long time.
Yeah,
but he gets hit, and if he fights a guy that can continuously output, you know, the work that Paddy did in that first round.
Yeah.
He might have trouble, you know. Yeah, he might have trouble. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I keep going to the fact that Bobby's getting a little bit older. You know, he's had some he was knocked out pretty viciously against Jalen Turner, though he did turn around against Jim Miller. But Jim Miller was also getting on in age as well. So I am going to that fact that Bobby is a little bit older. And look, Paddy should win. He's younger. He should be on his march to the title. You know, he's on a streak. He should be the one that wins. If he can't beat Bobby Green, who's at this stage in his career. He's got no hope to get a title shot, in my opinion, in the UFC.
Bobby Green's like the ultimate gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And I will say, though, Jim Miller had his moments in the first round.
From memory, I thought he did win the first round.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure he had Green like on wobbly legs at one point. Like he had hurt him. And Paddy in that first round against Ferguson I thought it was a really good showing. That's not to say like Ferguson obviously isn't the version of Ferguson we saw 7 years ago, but mate, I don't know. It was a good showing. It was a good showing. I'm probably gonna go Paddy, just because I think, like I said, that fall for grace that he had, the mentality, the mindset that he's come into, the way he looked in his last fight, I think that level of focus can get a W against Green, like at least a decision win.
Yeah, I know Green has pretty good wrestling defense, but if Paddy can survive getting knocked out by him, I just don't see – Paddy's a pretty strong dude. I don't see him getting knocked out by Green.
Yeah, he can take shots too.
He can take shots, and of course – he's great at grappling. He could submit Green. We don't know what might happen in those, you know, in the second round and the third round. So I think the odds are actually backing Green to win this. I think they're in his favor. But to be honest, I agree with you. I'm leaning towards Paddy. He knows that he needs to win this, and I think that's going to drive him to actually get the job done. So both of us going for Paddy Pimblett. Let's see what happens there. This one is interesting, man, if it ever bloody happens. But Muhammad Makhachev against Manel Kapp, flyweight division fight. Muhammad Makhachev is undefeated, 12 wins, 0 losses. He had a recent win against Alex Perez, and before that, Tim Elliott. Manel Kapp, 19 wins, 6 losses. He's on a 4-fight win streak. Recently, he beat Felipe Dos Santos at UFC Sydney. Were you there for that one, Rob? Do you remember how good that fight?
Oh, it wasn't.
It was such a good fight. Such a fun fight. I watched it recently. But what do you think about this fight? It's a wrestler against a striker. It gets a very exciting, dynamic striker. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. The wrestler versus striker debates, or like as older time, in my opinion, I think it's easier to defend against wrestling, to get like a defensive game against wrestling than it is to get an offensive game against wrestling, or you know what I mean? Than it is to get a wrestler into an offensive striking game. I think the easier option is learning how to defensively wrestle.
Mm.
And I feel like half the problem with learning to defensively wrestle is spacing and you know, creating that space of threat. But I don't know where to stand on this.
I think, like, I recently watched Muhammad Makhachev's fight against Alex Perez, and, dude, Muhammad Makhachev, as good of a wrestler as he is, he shot so much, and he was snuffed out of those takedowns by Alex Perez. Alex Perez just knew how to sprawl, knew how to snuff those takedowns, and he wasn't that successful on the ground. He still won the fight, don't get me wrong, but... And I know Manel Kapp it definitely doesn't have the takedown defense that Alex Perez has. But if he can do even half of that and then just beat Makhachev up on the feet with his hands, then I think he's going to be well on his way to winning this fight. I think Makhachev needs to trust his hands a little bit more. Like, I don't think he's a bad striker. I think he might not be able to stand too often with Manel Kapp, but if he can use his hands and then go for the takedown instead of constantly just going for the takedown like he did against Alex Perez, I think he'll have more of a chance in that regard. But I'm really wanting to lead towards Manel Kapp because I think Manel Kapp is just fun, he's dynamic, he's exciting, he's really good with his hands, he's really good with his flying knee. I'm going to say Muhammad Makhachev keeps trying to go down for a takedown and he's going to get hit in the face with a flying knee. That's my prediction for this fight.
Or it'll be off a little bit. He'll end up on his back and he'll be held down for the rest of the round.
Well, if he gets taken down, he'll be down for the whole round. Like, Makhachev will not let Kapp up. Yeah, he cannot get taken down.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's only a 3-round fight, right? So, like, he can't keep getting taken down because you only have so many chances. If it happens once, he's probably lost the fight, in my opinion. Yep. But let's see. Yep. So, who's your official prediction? Is it Makhachev or Kapp?
You know what? I'm going to go with Kapp as well. Got to back the strikers, man.
Look, you and I have picked all the same fighters this card. The last one.
Great minds think alike.
Absolutely.
Great minds think alike.
Arnold Allen against Giga Chikadze in the featherweight division. Arnold Allen, 19 wins, 3 losses. Look, Arnold Allen has had a couple of losses, but he's not just fighting bums, man. He's fought Movsar Evloev, Max Holloway. Before that, he had a string of wins against Calvin Kattar, Dan Hooker, Sadiq Youssef. Arnold Allen fights only the best, especially recently. Giga, on the other hand, not as high of a caliber of opponent. 15 wins, 3 losses. Recently, he had a decision win against Alex Caceres. But before that, a pretty bad decision loss against Calvin Kattar. Before that, he beat Edson Barboza and Cub Swanson. What do you reckon, Rob? You like Giga Chikadze, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very hard to bet against Giga because I like him. He's a cool dude. And I'm biased.
Fair.
I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, but I'm biased. So every pick and everything that I say in any fight is not objective.
Fair. Fair enough.
That's why I always lead with I feel or I think, right? Clear myself of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think Arnold Allen, I feel like his rise to the top was a little fast. Okay. I feel like his TKO win against Hooker really kind of catapulted him to that upper echelon of the division.
Mm.
And mate, they're killers up there. It is a crazy division, you know, and fighting Max Holloway is the pinnacle of the division.
Yeah.
Like you fight Max Holloway, you more or less can win a belt in the division, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, so I think, and he hadn't had a great amount of high-level fights before that. He didn't work his way up to Max Holloway. He kind of started having those high fights to enter the club and then fought the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is what you've got to do sometimes. But I feel like he, especially in that Holloway fight, we saw some holes that need to be patched up a little bit. Especially when it comes to spacing, again, I say spacing so much this episode, especially when it comes to controlling that space, that distance with guys that know how to strike, because Allen brings a level of threat with his hands that needs to be respected, but it's kind of wild. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Whereas Giga, it's tricky with Giga because I feel like some fights I think he should shoe in.
Yeah.
He has a really rough time with, and then some fights that I think I don't know how he's going to get this done. He clears it in speedrunner fashion, right?
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a bit of a test for Allen, and I think it's going to be a bit of a test for Giga because I don't think Allen has great – because we saw Holloway utilize kicks against Allen very well.
Mm.
Allen loves those slugfests, loves those punch-ups, but – Giga, I want to see him utilize his kicks. I want to see him utilize, creating a level of threat with the lower half of his body because I think that is an angle Allen needs to learn to reinforce to move up against those high guys that can strike holistically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Giga needs to lead the fight to fight, to start taking advantage of his full arsenal against those high caliber dudes, those threat level guys.
Yeah, for me, I really do think that Giga needs to work a bit on his cardio. If he's going to come out the first round guns blazing, we know how good his kicks are. We know how good his straight is. If Arnold Allen can weather that storm, get into the latter half of the second round, get to the third round, he's very, very well rounded. If he can pressure Giga enough, he could get the job done in the end. And I just believe he has fought the high caliber of fighter. And I think he's due for a win at some stage. I'm leaning towards him beating Giga because I don't know. Giga is, he doesn't fight that often. I don't know how much he has actually worked on his cardio. And Allen's not going to go away. He's not going to go away. He's going to be there to the end. Getting in a slugfest, again, he's well-rounded. He could mix it up. He could take him to the ground, just outwork him, out-pressure him. So I'm slightly leaning towards Arnold Allen. But this is the pick-me. It's a 50-50, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know what? I will say, Allen is so good at that. He stays in it with knockout-level power for the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. But I'm going to go with Giga.
All right. Well, that's going to be the differentiating factor for us with this card.
The decider,
which should be the first fight on the main card. So those are our predictions for UFC 304. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Let us know your predictions. But Rob, next up, let's talk some UFC rule changes. So this has seemingly been in the works for a while, but we've got some big changes, two big changes to the rules for mixed martial arts for UFC that are going to be adopted, I believe, from the 1st of October. So first up, 12 to 6 elbows, gone. Like the ban against them are gone. 12 to 6 elbows will be allowed. There's no more. Is it, you know, a different freaking time on the clock? It's going to be allowed, which I think is the right call. Mm-hmm. And then the second change, they're changing what is considered a grounded opponent. So I believe before, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, I believe before that if you had any kind of like actual pressure with your hand, you were considered a downed opponent. But they've changed the rule where it doesn't matter whether your hand's on the ground or your feet are on the ground. The only way you're considered grounded is if there's any other body part which is touching the ground, like your knees or your elbow or whatever it might be. It can't just be your hands. You can't just keep touching your hands on the ground and say that you're a grounded opponent. Specifically, this is what the rule says, so I get it out there. A fighter shall be considered grounded and may not be legally kneed or kicked to the head when any part of their body other than their hands or feet is in contact with the canvas or the ground. So, Rob, what do you think about both of those changes to the rules?
I think it's great. I think the 12 to 6 rule was a bit weird to begin with.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was weird because you could do that style of elbow as long as your hand was facing a different time on the clock. like as long as it wasn't like
if you're on the ground, you could do it. Right?
Exactly. As long as you're not pointing heaven to hell, like it's all good.
Yeah.
And that's weird. I never got it to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think this grounded opponent rule change is good. Like, I think we're heading in the right direction of like bringing in those soccer kicks back. But
you want them back so much.
Yeah, dude. but like, I think it's going to be really good. I feel like now you've got a pretty clear definition on what is grounded.
Yeah.
Like, and you can't cheese it because like, there's a lot of guys up in the UFC that get wrestled up against a fence, and so they're not needing a head, put a finger on the ground.
Yeah.
And it was weird. It's like, don't play the rules like that.
Yeah.
Not to say that I'm better like than doing it myself. Nah, dude, I 100% I play the rules if I have to.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad that it's been cleared up. I think it'd be cool and like when guys get rocked and they're moving back and they put a hand on the ground to stand back up, and then you can kind of like chase that finish a little bit more. I think it'll just add another level of, excitement to the game. I think it'll feel more natural. I feel like the rule set's moving into a more natural vibe of combat.
And we just don't get situations. As much as I've given my props and respect to someone like Aljamain Sterling, right? I think what he did after that controversial win against Petr Yan was incredible. And no one can doubt his legacy now, in my opinion. But now we get away from situations where fighters just have a hand on the ground to avoid getting kneed or kicked in the face. And it's a clear rule. Like, that's what I really like about it. It's any other body part aside from your feet and hands. Any other body part. So you could, the referee shouldn't have any issues trying to determine that on the fly. Yeah. I say that.
I'm laughing because like you are emphasizing any other body, bro? You don't have that many body parts.
Yeah, but like
they're put on the ground. Like
it's true though. Like there's no like, or is it proper pressure or whatever the hell? Nah, I can't remember what the previous rule was.
If you're grounded, you're grounded. Like
yeah,
like what would get you rocked? What would get you a 10 count in boxing? Like is grounded more or less.
Yeah. Right? By the way, on the whole 12 to 6 thing, apparently this will allow someone like John Jones to appeal his previous loss for doing the 12 to 6 elbow. And apparently he's going to do that.
Nah, are they allowing like what retroactively?
So what I've seen, and this was from Ariel Helwani, apparently the commission, people on the commission told him that John Jones should try to overturn the decision. Apparently it's a possibility, not to say that it'll happen, but right. it might apply retroactively because of the circumstances and how that fight ended, because it was so clearly ended in a 12 to 6 and there was no other extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but apparently it opens the door for that. So
fair enough.
We could see John's loss taken off his record. But that is it from the UFC perspective. The rule changes, UFC 304. Are you good, Rob? Do you, Do you need to go to the bathroom?
I'm good. I'm like dehydrated, so.
Oh, are you?
I can probably make the rest of the episode.
Hell yeah. So let's get to games news. Not much happening this week, but I did want to get your opinion on one thing, Rob, because you've played a little bit of Baldur's Gate 3, and at least you've tried. You've tried to get through the whole game, but you've played a lot of new characters.
And it's not just that. I get so burnt out on story.
Yeah.
Like proper burnt out. I've never gotten through Act One. I get to a like really late part of it, and I'm just like, before I get bored and start murder hoboing everyone, I stop playing. So,
well, I'm interested to know your opinion on this. So apparently, the CEO of Larian, right? There was a previous stage where they wanted to work on a bigger franchise to try and get their credentials up, work on a bigger title, which means more budgets. It's better for the developer and whatever. And they had a few choices. Or a few things or a few games and franchises that they wanted to pick. And Ultima was one of them. Baldur's Gate, of course, was one of them, and they ended up doing that. And Fallout was one of them. And he was saying that we were close to picking Fallout if they were able to get it over the line. Would you like to see a Fallout game by Larian? Is that something that interests you? It's a hard one because I know like you haven't got through the game and the story is very heavy for you.
Yeah, it's tricky. Tricky.
It's hard because Fallout is what it is now, right? And any deviation from that, like if I want to play a Larian game, I'd play Baldur's Gate. I'd play a Larian game. To me, Fallout is now it's Bethesda Game Studios. Many things that I would like to see improved about the series. Not everything is perfect by any means, but now it has its own identity and that would be changed up completely. Like if Obsidian worked on a Fallout, it'd still very much feel like a Fallout game. But if Larian did, I'm worried it would take it completely in the other direction. I'd still play it.
I feel like if I wanted to play a top down turn based shooter, I'd play something like XCOM or I'd play something like Wastelanders 2. You know what I mean? Like Wastelanders 2 is kind of like Fallout if it were turn based top down. Have you ever played Wastelanders 2?
I've played Wastelanders 2 and the OG Fallouts. I mean, that's what they are, right?
Yeah, like it's – yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be super interested by any means.
I would definitely give it a go because I would just like to see more Fallout games, to be fair. But it was interesting.
I want to see like another Divinity.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Like I liked Divinity 2. Like that was their launching platform, like really that like blew the socks off a lot of people. What got them kind of moving in Baldur's Gate. Like Divinity 2 was really cool, man.
They might go back to Divinity because they're not doing another Baldur's Gate game. I know that for sure. So I don't know what their next game is going to be, whether they want to do another Divinity or just a new IP entirely. It's going to be interesting what happens, but the next topic that we have for games news is, according to sources from Windows Central, Xbox Game Pass could get a cloud-only and ad-supported tiers and potentially the return of a family subscription option. So the cloud-only Game Pass tier would mean that you won't need to own a console. It should be on the cheaper side. It would allow you to purchase digital games from Xbox. And then they might introduce a family membership allowing 5 people. I think they tested this in the past where it was 5 people could access one subscription for a higher price, kind of like how Spotify does it. Rob, does this interest you at all? Like, I don't know if you're actually subscribed to Game Pass, but...
I don't... Yeah, well, my kids are.
Okay, so you do pay for it.
Yeah, I don't know how it would work. Like you'd have to have good internet, wouldn't you?
Yeah, good internet, and it would just be an app on your TV. Like Samsung TVs, I know have this for sure. They have an Xbox app. It would just stream, and you wouldn't have to ever buy a game or you can buy it, of course. They have that option, but you could download it if you want to. But I think it would just be streaming, so you would have to have very, very good internet to make that work.
Yeah, no, I'm for it. Like I think it'd be good. Like it'll stop people having to buy consoles.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how it would work. I don't think I can really visualize it working too well right now.
Definitely not in Australia.
I can't see it happening anytime soon. But if it works the way it says on the box, then all for it. Because I think accessibility is huge, especially for the guys that can't afford.
Yeah.
you know, consoles of their own, and the fact that you can share it amongst people, like,
yeah,
I know that's like sharing Netflix accounts is pretty big. So,
yeah, you know? I just don't know if I'm ever going to be that person that wants to, just as a general thing, subscribe to Game Pass. Like, if I want to play a game and I like a game, I'll just buy it. And I tend to not play that many games anyways. So if I get a Game Pass subscription, like over the course of a year, how many games am I actually buying? Probably a handful. So I think it'd be the same value, if not less, versus a Game Pass subscription where I'm paying all this money every month, which has increased in price, mind you, and I'm still not playing that many games anyways. I feel it's for people that don't have as much money and that want to play a bunch of games and have the time to do so. You know,
you see, I think that's where the market changes. It's like, you don't have kids. My kids live on Xbox Game Pass. Like they are downloading and deleting and changing games, I kid you not, probably 5 times a day.
Right. Like, and you would never buy all of those games for them.
No.
It just wouldn't happen.
They'll return a game and download a new one. Like constantly, mate. Constantly. Mm. It saved me so much money for them to have like a taste. Because the kids don't know what they want. They don't even know what they like. Oh. So they can just have a little taste of everything. It is great. And like if my kids like it that much, then I commit to it and I buy it for them. You know what I mean? So that when it eventually gets taken off Game Pass, they, don't cry.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, look, it depends on the user, of course. There are so many different types of consumers. I think for me, it's just maybe at a different stage of my life, I would get Xbox Game Pass. But that is the games news. Next up, we've got what we've been watching, playing, and reading. Rob, what have you been doing the past few weeks?
Okay. You go first. You go first.
Finally finished Final Fantasy 16. Finally.
Oh, wow.
Dude, it's such a long game. And
dude, they're all so long.
And I got, do you ever get to a point in a game when you're playing it where, like, initially you'll do all the side quests, you'll do everything. I'll clear a map before I move on. You get to a point where you're like, all right, I'm just going to do the main quest now. Because once I've done the main quest, I'm not going to play the game more. I don't need every side quest. I don't need every weapon or item or upgrade or whatever. I'm just going to finish it, enjoy the story, and then that's it. And I've finally done that with Final Fantasy 16. It's been on my list for so bloody long, and I'm just glad to be done. So I finished Final Fantasy 16.
No, that's awesome, man. Like I usually drop games before I get to that point because if I finish a game without doing everything, I won't feel satisfied. Like I won't.
Like everything.
Everything. Like it's not like 100%. It's just like the roadmap that I have in my head of like what I need to do to complete the game.
Fair enough.
You know, I have to do it a certain way. And if I don't do it that way, then if I don't follow through with my plan in my head, then I just will not be happy.
Fair. That's fair enough. I mean, I think it depends on the game. I think when I started to try and play games in that kind of methodical manner where I'm like, I got to do every quest and I have a checklist or whatever, I start not enjoying it. I remember I recently tried to do that with Starfield, and that's not how I played games in the past when I was a kid before YouTube. I played the games, did the quests that I wanted to, and when I was done, that's why I don't do achievements anymore. I just don't care. I just don't care for that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I've never really gotten behind achievements. But like, it's super important for me to have like a character in my head of who I'm playing. That's why it's so important for me to be able to create my own character because I have to be able to visualize what this character is and then I play him out throughout the game. And it's not just that game, it's every game across the thing, which is why I kind of always just hop back into the old games because I'm remaking characters. And but continue, please.
No, so, I mean, so I finished that and then I've been just watching a couple of anime here and there. My Hero is still going. I'm also watching Bungo Stray Dogs, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's probably about it for me. I mean, I've been so bloody busy with the move for the past month, hadn't had much time for much else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that that's done. But how about you?
Okay, myself. I've been playing Project Zomboid a lot with my friends. Like during the week, I had my teeth were pretty bad and had my wisdom taken out. I was just playing Zomboid. I don't know if anyone's ever played Project Zomboid. It is the best zombie simulator game I've ever played.
Cool.
Ever. Like better than DayZ, World War Z, better than State of Decay 2, which is really good, but it's amazing. It has the graphics of like the original Sims, but but it is like the details and the gameplay loop and just the mechanics behind it make it so good for that sort of play.
Okay.
But non-multiplayer, I've just started up another character in Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, really? Okay.
So my internet was out, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I played my Dragon's Dogma character and it didn't get saved to the cloud, and then I got my new one and I didn't have any data. So I was like, screw it, I'll start again.
Far out.
And I'm really obsessed right now with archery, not just in this game, in all games, just like ranged options. And I don't know, archery is so much fun in Dragon Dogma 2, man. Like,
fair.
I'm really enjoying it. And there's hilarious moments. Like, I'll be shooting a Cyclops, and you know how it does a drop kick? I forget what they're called, Ogre.
Yeah.
It does like a drop kick, and if the Ogre picks you to do a drop kick, no matter what distance it's at, like it can be 100 meters away, it'll get to you with that drop kick. And it comes at me like a missile, dude. Double legs, like drop kicks me, and my dude just ragdolls because I've got no health, nothing. It's been fun. I'm actually looking forward to jumping into it after this episode.
That's pretty funny.
So I've been enjoying it. I made a pawn, and my wife was terribly angry with me about it, but I made a pawn and followed, like, if you go to YouTube, you can go beautiful pawns, and they have like a list of like really, because I've always wondered, how do these guys get their pawns looking like supermodels? mine are always the same. They're just like super stocky, staunch dudes, and no one hires a staunch dude. Okay, so I followed one of those things. It takes like 10 minutes to, like, because it's got all the numbers you need there to make the perfect beautiful pawn. I made one, and bro, all that it's confirmed for me is that everybody on Dragon's Dogma 2 are just a bunch of simps, bro. Like, every time I rested it in, like, seven people have hired us. Like, it is great, man. It is great. I love it. And I'm running around, dude, with no mage, four archers. Like, there's no heals. There's no healing in that party. If we can't shoot down whatever is going to kill us, we die. It's so much fun. Bro, you know what the hardest enemy in the game is for us right now?
Mm.
Wolves.
Really?
Because, dude, you can't pin them down. It's super hard to, like, I'm using the controller to free aim, and I'm terrible with it.
Yeah.
So I'm missing all the time. A wolf, they're fast. I grab you, like, a wolf come in, grab me by my ankle and drag me off. And, like, yeah, they'll stagger our shot. Like, it's so hard. Like, wolves are the worst enemies for us right now. But
I'm having
a lot of fun for it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like, yeah.
You always pick such funny ways to play games, man.
Oh, dude, I'm having a lot of fun playing with four archers because, like, my pawns the whole time is just going, it comes to my attention that we have, that we're all of the same vocation. I'm like, shut up, dude.
They keep repeating themselves. Yeah, like, I get it. Shut up.
I'm like, yeah, we're all archers. This is the archer. Yeah. We are the archer team. Like, relax.
Or if all your pawn are the same gender, they'll have comments about that. Like, leave me the hell alone, all right?
Yeah, but if all your pawns are women, you know what you're doing, dude.
They'll call you out for it. Yeah, it's good, hilarious.
Good, good. It's a reality check. But no, it's – so, like I said, I'm looking forward to jumping into that.
Yeah, sick.
After this episode.
Sick.
You know, reading. There was a really good book I was reading the other day. But I've just been picking up books, like the next book in certain series. That's why Amazon Kindle's so good, because you can go on – it's got like a tab there that says continue what you've read last or something like that.
Yeah.
And it usually comes up with the next edition of books.
Right.
But that's cool. I've been watching the latest season of anime.
Yeah.
There are only like 2-3 out at the moment. Last season there was a pretty good one. Kaiju number 8 was pretty cool.
Oh, Kaiju anime was great. So good.
But I can't help but feel like it hit that like I don't know what style it is, like maybe teen style, the shonen or whatever it's called, where it's like the main character, even though he's a 30-year-old, he's kind of like a Naruto believe it sort of character.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, yeah. Whatever. Konosuba, still hilarious. Love Konosuba. It's so good.
Yeah.
What else was I watching? That's kind of really all I was watching then.
Yeah, Konosuba is still on my list. There's stuff that I'm slowly working my way through after finishing Demon Slayer and everything.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch. Like, I'm looking at the latest thing. I usually just end up watching the latest season of anime.
Yeah, I think a new Blue Lock season's coming out. I really like Blue Lock. I don't think you like sports anime, but I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah,
I like the new second season of Goblin Slayer was out. I don't know if it was last season.
Was that good,
dude? So good, Goblin Slayer is the best.
I got to work my way. Best. I just got to get past that first episode. But
oh, dude, who cares? Like, he's an animal. Yeah. Like, he's so good.
He's
so
literally cool. The Doom guy of the anime world.
I think he's my idol. he might be my idol. Yeah, like, fair. Actually.
Fair.
I'm trying to see. Did you end up watching that gaming one where dude wears a bird mask? I forgot what that was called.
Oh, that one was so good. Shangri-La Frontier?
Yeah.
I loved Shangri-La Frontier. Dude. I was obsessed with the anime that was like a video game. Like, that was the whole point of it. And even though this one, they knew it was a virtual reality game and it wasn't like, this is real stuff. Yeah. I loved Shangri-La Frontier.
I like their direction with it as well.
Hell yeah.
But did you watch Sword Art?
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't watched Sword Art Online. That is next. For me, yeah, I think.
You got to try Sword Art Online. I really liked it.
Yeah. I didn't want to like go too heavy on the one style of anime because then I'd get burnt out on it. That's why I swapped to Bungo Stray Dogs and I'm enjoying that. Like, you know, like the investigation crime aspect, but some people have powers. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a bit burnt out with how many characters there are. It's too many.
Yeah. I don't care. I love My Hero Academia. I forget. Who's named what? Even Demon Slayer. I'm like, what are the freaking 12 Kizuki named or whatever? Like,
I don't like either of those really.
You do need to get to My Hero though, because it's like genuinely really good.
Too many people. Fair enough. I don't think I can.
But they all their story arcs is that like they're all being developed. At least they're doing that. No one's being forgotten about.
Yeah, but I don't care. I just want to sit. I don't care. You know what Fair I mean? Enough. Like, I want to see one point of view. That's it. I just want to see one dude become a god, and that's it.
It's probably not for you then. But that is what we're watching, playing, and reading. Last segment, as always, is questions. If you have any questions, let us know in the comments below. First question, and to be honest, Rob, there were about 10 of these, 20 of these. I lost count. But this is one from Alicia Fernandez 2625. Can I get a link to Rob's hoodie? Everyone wanted to know. Are you going to be releasing that white hoodie, the Reaper hoodie that you were wearing in our last episode? Dude, so many comments.
Yeah, it was a limited edition, but because of the feedback, I think we're going to do another drop soon. So stay tuned.
Save one for me. Next question we have is from @Dunham. Question, have you seen the Dragon Age Veilguard gameplay? And if so, what did you think of it? And also, what is your opinion on game franchises changing art style from one game to another? Did you see Dragon Age Veilguard?
No, I'm looking up right now.
So people were so against it initially because the initial trailer that they had, the art style was so visually different to the previous game, to Inquisition. And then they released the actual gameplay and it was more fitting. Definitely still different, but more fitting to the previous game. I haven't played Inquisition, so I need to... It's actually going to be the game that I play next after Final Fantasy 16. But I think it looks all right. Like the proof is going to be in the pudding once the game comes out.
I'm looking at it now. I can see.
Do you see what they mean?
Yeah. What game does this remind me of?
Avowed? A little bit?
I don't know if I played Avowed.
No, it's not out yet, but like those are the vibes that I'm getting.
Kind of like Sea of Thieves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. But are you watching is there like a CGI trailer and then gameplay?
I'm watching the gameplay.
Yeah, okay.
I can still see the Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. Yeah.
This Toppus art style always comes across to me as kiddie.
That's fair. That's fair enough.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I am a huge fan of Dragon Age.
Dude, I really wanted to play. Like, I have all the Dragon Age games. I want to play them. But apparently the first game runs like dog crap on PC. So I might just play Inquisition. And I know the originals are so good, but if I can't play it on the PC, I can't play it. So yeah.
Next question is
from at DavidChug514. My question for the next podcast is, who of the upcoming contenders in middleweight or other weight classes or any weight class do you see as having a future threat to contending for a belt? Apart from Steve Ursig, he looked amazing versus Pantoja. Love your work, guys. Big love. I've got my answer written down there. You might have the same one as me, Rob, but anyone else come to mind? It's a hard one.
It is.
I'll say my answer now because I think this is the obvious one across the board. It is Shavkat Rakhmonov. I think welterweight division, I think he has a very, very good chance against either Leon or Bilal. That dude is finishing people left, right, and center. I think he has a really good chance against either of them. Of course, Steve Ursig, you mentioned that. I thought Steve Ursig, if he didn't try and wrestle and grapple with Pantoja in that last round, he would be the champion right now. So he's going to be a champion in the future. I think Shavkat will be a champion in the future. But aside from those two, I don't know.
Yeah, mate, it's hard to say. I'm going to say myself. I'm still the plan's still to get that belt back.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I have every chance to pull it off again, you know.
I got to ask you. Have you been seeing what Sean Strickland has been saying about everything? No. Oh, dude. No. He's pretty much been saying that, you know, why does Rob deserve a title shot? Blah, 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 blah. I've earned it. And I think I screenshotted something and I sent it to you. There, people were roasting him in the comments, especially because of how he got the title shot initially against Israel. Because people were, from memory, other fighters were injured, you know, results went certain ways, and he was just offered it in Sydney, and he did happen to win. But it's not as if, like, he's had this amazing record, and he couldn't defend the title. So, I don't know, man. I think you two just should just fight for the... Because, like, Nassadim Imavov is also already set to fight against Cannonier, I believe. So, whatever other fight is there to make, that's my opinion. Next up we've got is HSOL10. Rob, are you going to play Path of Exile 2 in November?
Definitely. I'm not huge on seasons, and I'm sure they'll go through with, like, it's a seasonal game sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I've got a bunch of mates that love it, that'll definitely be on the jump. Probably going to get a little FOMO if I don't jump on it. So.
Fair.
And Path of Exile, like, the character building system is just great. Like, as a guy who loves character building,
And
like putting in spec points and designing characters, mate, you can spend hundreds of hours. And they had a hideout system. I don't know. Definitely.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot to ask you, why haven't you played Shadow of the Erdtree? What's going on?
Mate, I started a new character and then I don't know. There's other games I want to play right now, like... I'm torn a little bit. Like, I want to keep playing Dragon's Dogma 2 right now.
Yeah.
But also a game, Norland, just came out.
Okay.
It's like a Rimworld-esque colony simulator.
Mm.
I don't know. It looks really cool and I want to play that. Like, it's just not the highest on my list to do. But I am going to play Elden Ring soon. And when I do, I'm going to play a Barbarian. Have you seen those builds?
No.
Like it? I said, theme of the month is archery. Barbarian is just great bow, one-shotting everything. It's mad.
Dude, you have so many level 150 characters. You can play the DLC whenever you want.
Nah, I'll start again. I'm like a coward.
Fair enough.
I actually deleted my main character that I finished the game with.
Did you have to because you ran out of save slots or you just felt like
I just wanted my new main to be in slot one.
So that's so stupid, Rob. That's a dumb reason to delete a save file.
He had 110 hours on him.
Why?
But I feel good about doing it.
Fair enough.
Like, it makes me feel complete.
I got so addicted, man. And it happened with the main game too. I got so addicted to Shadow of the Erdtree. I just had to stop playing. I finished it, but I had to stop playing. But anyways, last question is from Alexis with an E, who changed her name because I think I mispronounced it in the previous episode. Hey guys, I really love tuning into the MMR Game podcast. So much love from Detroit, USA. I have a would you rather question for you both. I don't know how to answer this one. Would you rather have to chew a random piece of gum from under a random table for 30 seconds or drink a glass of hot, chunky, expired milk?
Oh, random gum for sure, dude.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I agree.
Actually, like, No,
because you're not getting sick from that in all likelihood. There's more of a chance you get sick from the milk that's expired and hot.
Off milk won't make you sick either. That's a fact.
Look at that. Are you speaking from experience here, Rob?
I'm pretty sure it's a fact. Or it might be moldy bread. It's one of them. But I'm pretty sure I'll survive. How big is the glass? Like, if we're talking 200.
Regular
I don't know.
Glass.
Like, we're talking like normal gum. What if the gum you choose has hepatitis on it? knowing my luck, I'm going to get some like outlandish disease from the gum and die or not be able to walk in sunlight anymore. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Not be able to walk in sunlight. This isn't a freaking video game curse, bro. No.
Mate, it's a what if? It's a would you rather question. Like, relax. I don't know. I'd do both. Like, I dip the gum in the milk. Like, neither one is really killing it for me. I just don't want to get Hep B.
That's okay. Fair enough. I don't see you. 9 times out of 10, I don't think you're going to get sick from the gum. I think you might actually get, at least your stomach is going to be turning and you're probably sitting on the toilet after the milk. Unless. You like, are you allowed to vomit afterwards to get it out of your system anyways?
I don't know.
Just do that?
I don't know.
It would just be gross in the moment. But that is it. That is episode 45 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Thank you,
mate,
everyone.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Again, subscribe if you're new. And Rob, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, I just want to say thank you to everyone who, again, I'm sorry for the delay in starting it back up. And there'll probably be another delay when I get my more root canals next week. But thank you to all our subscribers and listeners. If you're new, please like, subscribe, join the crew. We would love to have you. And peace.
Take care, guys.